Blog Talk Radio.
Gratitude. Integrity. Wisdom. From the mystery of the ether.
Sorry, I'm there,
yes,
on the other one.
Formally,
creativity.
We ask you to become
justice.
A guide for all humanity. To open up in grace.
Expression.
To the universal offering.
Beauty.
With which we resonate.
Vision.
We call you from the mystery of the ether.
Thank you for hearing our call.
Formally,
to become our highest self.
We ask you to become.
Teach us to become our
guide for all humanity.
Hope.
To open
we thank you
up
for
in
helping
grace
us access our inner wisdom.
To the universal offering. With which we resonate
each other.
We call
you forth
from the mystery of
harmony with each other.
Yes,
sister.
Formally,
may the people of all nations come together and celebrate life. Movement,
a guide for all humanity
and purpose
to open up.
Help us make the world a better place.
To the universal offering with which
we ask
we resonate.
And the seventh generation.
We bring a new way to walk on the earth.
Heal.
We bring a new way to walk on the earth.
We welcome your goal.
We bring a new way to walk
on the earth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's Avatars. This is Gary Moore. I hadn't done a show of this nature in a little while, and this is kind of a special show. I want to extend my thanks, first of all, to Keter Magic for the use of her channel, and let everyone know that, I don't know if you like that music or not, that was done by Ms. Imani, and it's called A New Way, and it's kind of coinciding with this message of what we're doing today. And I have a very, very special guest on with me today. His name is Ivan Lenski. Ivan is a leader, educator, and master of systems optimization, integration, and design. Ivan develops systems for alchemical entrepreneurialism, which generate delighted, satisfied, fulfilled, repeating, and referring customers who deliver written acknowledgement reports agreed to be usable as testimonial at any time in the future. And he's got a great message, a great plan, and a great upcoming event for 11-11-11 we're here to talk about. Ivan has sourced many significant projects that now contribute to creating our new optimal world and a new way of walking on the earth. So I'm going to bring him on without any further ado, or without any further ado, for those of you who don't like to ado. Ivan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm awesome, full of awe and then some. Awesome. How are you, Gary? Can you hear me loud and clear?
I hear you loud and clear, and I am perfect, thank you. And so are you, and so is everyone else.
There's nothing like being perfect.
Welcome to the show. So why don't we begin with a brief overview and see where we go from there.
Perfect. So what would you like me to overview first?
However direction you wish to take this.
All right. Excellent. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for inviting me onto your show. And thank you for those of us that are on the conference line and on the audio-visual line at worldenlightainment.com, for those of you watching there on Ustream, and those of you listening through other Skype connections and phone connections and web connections around the world. I want to start by just saying that what I'd like you all to consider in this show and beyond it is that the core question we're asking you to ask yourselves and each other and for all of us to engage in together is, how do we make this world better forever for everyone? And that's the question that we've been inquiring into, myself and my best friend from teenage years. I was 13, he was 12 when we met. And we've been asking this question to ourselves and each other and others over and over and over again. It might sound a little boring, but what you focus on grows. And so if you focus on making the world better forever for everyone, can you hear that?
That will increase, right.
Can you hear a background noise?
No, you're sounding okay. You might want to come a little closer to the microphone.
I hear somebody playing a video from Facebook, from Faceware.
Oh.
William, are you playing a video? William, are you there?
I am. No, I'm not.
That's the wildest thing.
No audio at my end either, so.
That is very weird. I have no idea where it's coming from.
You got to love technology. Yeah, it may be. I don't know if you are at the Blog Talk Radio chat room or not. It may be that, so I'm not sure. If you were.
No, I know the video. It's a very interesting video. I just don't know how it got onto this channel, but that's okay. I must have it open somewhere. Just give me a moment while I close it out. I apologize.
Oh, you got to love computers. You know, they make our lives so trouble-free.
Don't they, though? Let me try this. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Wherever it was, it's gone. So it was on my end, and it was on a screen. But that means I've stopped the broadcast on World Entertainment, which I'll restart in a moment. Let me just reopen that while I'm talking to you, if I may. Just keep it simple in that regard. So what I was saying to you, Gary, is that the context is a question. And the question, we want to spread virally. We want every man, woman, and child to start the question in their own world. That is weird. I hear it again.
Very interesting. It must be coming from the website through which you're broadcasting or something.
Oh, let me just try something else. Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm going to go in through a different browser and see if that makes the difference. Let's see what happens here.
I love that the technological abilities to patch in through different venues into Blog Talk Radio and other internet shows as well, how you can do this through Skype, through the phone line, through other websites, etc. But occasionally, they throw us a glitch.
Yes, exactly.
And
it's all a matter of testing.
Right, and it's a matter of putting the geek hat to figure out the glitch, basically.
This is the strangest thing. I'm now hearing it on the other. I can't quite get it. Just give me a moment. I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Just bear with me. So it's amazing that you can't hear what I can hear, but that's okay.
I cannot. I have not accessed through the website. I'm directly at Blog Talk Radio and dealing directly through that via Skype.
So it's strange. It's a video I actually know. It's about facewear. And just give me a second. I got what's wrong here.
If you'd like, I could put on a piece of music while you figure this out.
That would be great. That would be a great...
Let me find something here momentarily. This is a music channel typically, so I've got music on here. Bear with me a moment. How about a little Joe Walsh? There we go.
Excellent. Gary, you're on two lines. That's what it is.
Ah, okay.
I'll add you in on the other side, okay?
Don't you know it's a waste of your day? Okay, we're back. And Ivan, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
That's all that matters, right? if you can hear me, the listeners can hear me, I can hear me, that's about all I could ask for. Right?
You are streaming through the Blog Talk Radio switchboard, and everything is working as it's supposed to. So here we are.
Thank you. And I have managed to eliminate the background, which was, interesting enough, a video about facewear, which is indirectly relevant to what we're going to talk about. But it was a very interesting audio track of a screen capture of somebody as an actor on a video cam, then being transcribed live real time to be a actor on a movie about Napoleon. So the script, you hear him reading it on the video cam, then you see it animating the equivalent of an avatar in a movie that he's the actor for, but then the movie is showing his actions identical to on the video. It's called Facewear. Very, very clever technology. Anyway, I'm back. I'm glad
to
be back.
Well, welcome back. And, and back to the overview. Start out with an overview of who you are, what your how you got started, and where do you want to go with the message that we're doing here today.
Very clear. So I'd like to start at the beginning, if I may. So my friend of since I was 13, he was 12. His name is William Godwin, and myself. We started inquiring into how do we make the world better forever for everyone. And I've been asking every human being I can for nearly 50 years of life indirectly, and you know about 40, 30, 37 years of life directly, how do we make the world better forever for everyone, where the we is a collaboration of two or more people, okay? So each individual can do something, but once you start to work in teams of two or more, you have more power, you know, where two or more are gathered.
Right.
And so as a context, we created an initiative called World Enlightenment. World Enlightenment has the initials W-E, as in two or more people gathered together, we. And
okay.
Moving from me to we, from I illness to we wellness. And so World Enlightenment has been in development by its founders, myself and William, for over three decades, in asking a singular question: how do we make the world work better forever for everyone? And how do we make the world better forever for everyone, with or without working?
Mm-hmm.
It's therefore an active and ongoing inquiry, but we will become increasingly public as we, the entity World Enlightenment, develops out our technology systems and people over the next few months and years and decade with an answer to this fundamental question. In simple terms, the initiative aims to co-create with everyone a world which is better and better forever for everyone. The creation of what we call now a new optimal world. And that's the sort of context of the whole thing. To produce that result, I personally came up with the conclusion from all of my 50 years of living that we need to recalibrate systems, re-educate people, and reorganize life, business, and ultimately the surface of Mother Earth herself. And the initiative that we've created in World Enlightenment covers many projects, all of which are carefully designed to support World Enlightenment as a context for global transformation and transfiguration, by which we mean a transformation of the way human beings are being in the world and the transformation of the environment in which they exist. This new environment we call one or optimal new environment. The projects can be broadly divided into three areas: the education area, the celebration area, and the communication area. So those are the three initiatives, if you will. And what you focus on grows. So if you focus on re-educating yourselves and each other and getting more and more truthful, accurate, whole, and complete information to yourselves and each other, that in and of itself improves the quality of our communication and is something that allows us to engage in celebration. And what you focus on grows. So if you focus on celebration, your joy grows, your peace grows, your prosperity grows, And when you celebrate life itself, not just the doing and the having in life, it's quite miraculous how quickly what you might call synergy or natural connections start to reveal themselves between you and the environment that you live in, including the other people that you engage with on the phone, on the web, and in the world.
Especially when you become mindful of the synchronicities. Once you set those intents, what you focus on grows, and then begin to focus. Like your question in general, you know, how can I make things better for the world? And then stepping back and waiting for the universe to line things up with the synchronistic messages to give you the answer to that question, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So synergy and synchronicity are latent when you are willing to allow yourself to tune into that frequency, if you will, that vibration, that resonant law of attraction. So you put out an intent, and then you attract everything that's aligned with that frequency. Just like tuning in a radio station or tuning into a specific television station or a specific area of the web for email or for, you know, searching something or buying something. You're actually choosing the direction you're pointing, if you will, like in the car where you drive, you know, the direction of the car. So everything is about priorities. And all of our priorities have been around developing our conversations and our actions to produce this question being on the heart and mind of everyone, including, obviously, the people we've come into contact with, the people those people have come into contact with, and the people those people have come into contact with. So we've now impacted directly and indirectly, depending on how you count, and it's very difficult to count way and measure, but you could say indirectly we've impacted the whole species already. Directly we've impacted millions of people who've engaged with us over half a century of being alive. And I think it's fair to say my conclusion, and it's just my point of view, but my conclusion is we're interconnected and interdependent in ways that are not acknowledged or obvious to all people yet. It's like we've got to re-remember that if the world isn't working for anyone, it isn't working for everyone. So if we've got people without fresh, clean drinking water, without food and, you know, high quality, nurturing food anywhere in the world, we've also got, you know, people elsewhere that are that are connected to that and are involved energetically, if not physically, with that. So our goal is to clear the core base quality of life living conditions from where they are to a place where every human naturally, wherever they are on the planet, can easily access unlimited clean, fresh drinking water and high vibrational water while we're at it, with nutrients in that water, so they could actually live on the water alone with the nutrition in the water. And then beyond that, to have access to high quality, fresh produce, preferably, in our view, raw foods, but it could be any kind of food, that bring the body physically to a higher and higher vibration and sustain it in that state of being and consciousness.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you a little bit, you know, when I talk about synchronicity, a lot of people know me and they know that I am part Native American. I walk a Native American spiritual walk, and I have for many, many years. This past winter, well, it was in spring, it was back in March, actually. I occasionally get visions. I'm not the kind of guy that remembers their dreams quite regularly, but when I do, they come through as a vision. And I got this vision back in March, and I created a guided meditation out of it subsequently, but that's another story. But basically what this vision was a dream within a dream. And I dreamt that I had gone to the African savannah and saw this three-year-old little girl naked, living in the dust, and her people were struggling and just having a total devastatingly difficult time just to live. And I saw over on the other side of the earth, I saw the Vatican, and I saw people like, you know, the wealthy often at one end of the spectrum, and at the other end, people like the people that I saw in the African savannah living in the dust. Oh, the very interesting synchronistic event happened, it was the next morning when I woke up, I learned that the earthquake had hit Japan, had struck Japan. And it was, to me, it was confirmation that the earth is seeking balance. It's seeking this sameness, this equality, this equal right to water, shelter, fire, and food for every living inhabitant on this earth, every living human inhabitant on this planet, simply because they are here. That's the only, you know, the fact that we simply are has allowed our reality to, you know, this call and to change that, and the change has begun. And another real interesting synchronistic event occurring from that was my meeting up with you. So we open ourselves up to the question and the answers come, and here we are talking about this very thing. So continue on, Ivan, with what your plan is, what your program is, and the event coming up for 11-11-11.
Well, if you understand that the question itself is held inside of a conversation, so every human being, you know, at some level is engaged in conversations every day, and they either understand the power of a conversation from their own experience, or they don't yet understand that. So what we're doing, if you will, is driving a conversation into the marketplace. You know, a bit like a shepherd would drive their cattle, you know, to wherever they're driving them to, in the fields or across the plains. We've been seeding a conversation in the world over and over again, a bit like Johnny Appleseed, that whole story about, you know, planting the 10 apple seeds every day. After a long time, the whole valley was an apple orchard where he lived. So we've been seeding the conversation regularly throughout the world, not just in the UK or in Europe or in America, North America, where I've been investing most of my physical time over this lifetime. But we are now at a point in the conversation that we are collectively where the best way to say it is that this question can be asked and there are answers. Real, grounded, practical, measurable, specific answers. And that's where we are right now, in the collective inquiry into what's possible and what would be optimally made from possible, probable, certain, and then actual. So what I'm looking to cause is consensus. And consensus for a long time was the world is flat. And while that was incomplete and in a way inaccurate, it's true to say there are parts of the planet that might be flat, but it's not true to say the planet is flat. And we still have people to this day who relate to the planet in both their thinking and their speaking and their action as if it was flat and there's an edge to where they can go to and then they'll fall off the edge. And that might shock you. Out of 7 billion people, over a billion of them still relate to the planet this way. And that's a guesstimate because it's very hard to measure these things. But we're talking about one in every 7 people is still relating to the planet like it's flat and there's a boundary beyond which they will fall off the earth. So that's shocking from a certain point of view, considering we're in 2011, and most of us in the modern world, or the third world, fourth world, versus the first and second world, you know, would be surprised that that still exists as a collective consciousness. But I'll give you an example that's very practical. It came from Buckminster Fuller. The language sunrise and sunset is actually flat earth language. And most people don't think about the way they use language and that they're still speaking in a flat earth way. So it's now 10:30. I'm guessing our other customers or viewers and listeners will be joining us now. At least it's that time on my end. Is it that time with you?
It is, yes. And they'll be along directly, I think. Yes.
That's great. So I just want to say we're going to run for about an hour here, and this conversation is designed to really make a difference for those of you that are listening. So I want to start for those that just joined us, that you can understand that what we're doing now is a conversation. And this conversation has the power to alter the way that we organize life and business on the surface of the earth. It has the power to encourage our entire species to go through a re-education process. And it has the power, most of all, to have us recalibrate the systems that we live inside of and the games that we play around economics and money, around political and social and economic and religious and cultural affairs. So I'm just saying that so that you all understand we're at a very pivotal point in human history. We've got about 3.5 weeks left before Friday, 11-11-11, which is when we're inviting everyone to... Wow, I just heard myself. What just happened with the very good? What was that for? Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
Wow.
It's someone at your end, apparently. Anyway.
Sorry, I apologize. So where we are at this point in the conversation is that the question, how do we make the world better forever for everyone, is on the hearts and minds of many, 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 many people. Out of the 7 billion people, I would say if you really deeply inquired and asked, the majority of people at some level have come to the conclusion that the world is no longer flat. But they're using the conversation sunrise and sunset as distinct from sunsight and sunclipse, which would be more accurate if they were aware that it is an ovoid, spherical object rather than a flat plane. And so we are very unconscious in the use of language, and language has the power to shape our perception, our view of life, our view of everything, our view of our relationships, and our relationship with not just people, but with the biosphere and with everything and everyone in the cosmos.
Right. In the beginning was the word, and the word creates everything. Our words create everything as we go.
Hold on. Are you hearing that or not?
I'm hearing it through your microphone, I think. I'm not sure where it's coming from.
I've just terminated, don't worry. It seems to me that it was on our Ustream channel, it was playing back.
Getting some audio coming back.
Yeah,
I see.
Yeah, that's fine. It's from the original startup. I apologize for that.
That's all right.
So, so let's talk about, how do we take us as a species from where we are today, on Tuesday the 18th of October 2011, it's 10:34 in the evening, my time in the UK, 22:34 for those who are into a 24-hour clock. And we're discussing on a talk radio show that is being audio-visually recorded, which sounds a bit weird. How do you audio-visually record a talk radio? Well, it's audio-visually recording me speaking to you. It's being broadcast on a conference call that's a live and interactive conference call, which you can access, for those of you listening, audio from... limitlessnow.com. On the top left-hand side, there is a phone conference button, and on the top right-hand side, there is a Skype conference button. If you click on either of those buttons, you can either come into us via Skype or come into us via audio conference. You just pick the country nearest you or the country you're in and dial into that number for the live call, and then also dial into the extension that it has on the right-hand side, which is common to all of those systems, which ties all our phones from all those countries into one conversation, one bridge line, if you will. So you can listen in and speak in when we're live on the conference line from any location on the earth through those access phone numbers and access codes. This is technology that less than 50 years ago would have cost millions of pounds to operate. And
right.
It's free of charge for those of you that know how to set it up for yourselves and your teams via Skype and via freeconferencecall.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it also allows you to record audio and audiovisual, if you're using Ustream or Ustream.tv, the conversation, and then replay it at any time in the future. And one of the things that that is good for is for those that missed the live conversation. Obviously, if you're in the live conversation, you can ask questions and interact with us. If you're in the recorded conversation, you can just hear, you know, the conversation and the questions that were asked by others. We're at a point now where the technology makes it easier and easier for us to get our message out there. The challenge humans are finding is that we are drowning in information while we're starving for wisdom and discernment. We're literally overwhelmed by the quantity of information that tries to get into our attention from the phone, from the web, from the radio, from the television, from the newspaper, from the other print media, from the people around us and, you know, in our lives. It's like noise. And it's difficult for people to actually discern and distinguish what's relevant, timely, useful, accurate, whole, and complete, and how to leverage one's creativity and harness one's creativity in that modern technological world so that you're actually having the technology work for you rather than you ending up a slave to the technology or almost entrapped and entrained by the technological ways in which your attention is seized and sort of depleted, if you will. Your energetics are depleted. Does that make sense, Gary?
Sure. Yes, it does. And, you know, to use this technology as a tool to, like, answer your question, how do you make this world better for everyone?
Yes.
Right.
The short answer is you communicate. Now, when we communicate, there are many levels to communication. There's conversation, which includes listening and speaking. We don't get trained to listen. Most people don't get trained to speak. Although if you've done public speaking or singing or any kind of oratory work, I'm sure you have at some level because you're in radio and you have this amazing voice, Gary. But most people do not get taught to speak and to listen. They learn it from their environment. They sort of pick it up, you know, as it comes at them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very different thing than being taught how to speak so you can be fully understood. And you can't possibly be misunderstood, to speak in a language that's clean and clear, that if it's not necessary to say it, it is necessary not to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And these distinctions in listening and speaking are very sort of subtle. For instance, if I wasn't being listened to by you and this radio show and other people that I know and people that I don't yet know, and I didn't know that this listening conversation that's being recorded isn't going to be heard by millions and then billions of people over the next year or two, I could say that I would speak to myself differently than I do to this listening.
Mm-hmm.
And the listening isn't just the people that are actually live or the people that are listening to the pre-recorded replays. The whole cosmos is listening all the time to everything and everyone. It's just not so blatantly obvious what it's listening from, what it's listening for, and how the listening shapes, molds, sources, and generates the speaking that's going on. But what I'm encouraging in this conversation with you today, Gary, is an inquiry, an exploration, a discovery into what is now really possible that we have developed and discovered collectively and individually. What do we know as a species that were we to actually openly and transparently share our knowledge, our wisdom, our technology, our tools, our skills, and our solutions. If we were now to share all of our solutions, we would have a world that worked better forever for everyone. The quality of life would go up so rapidly, so radically, so dramatically, so very really and measurably and specifically that the world as we know it, of scarcity, lack, limitation, struggle, and suffering, of hunger and starvation, of pain that people are in, both spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically, would almost disappear overnight. I know that sounds a little optimistic and utopian, but I'm telling you from my research and the research of others that we are no longer short of solutions that are deployable and deliverable and really demonstrable. What we're short of is the capacity to share in a way that's effective, that has people in abundance rather than scarcity. You see, scarcity is focused on the principle of either me or you. Abundance is focused on the principle of me and you. So scarcity is focused on the action of hoarding, and abundance is focused on the action of sharing.
Right.
And in our education, we've described in World Enlightenment, worldenlightenment.com, where we would be live if I turned the Ustream back on. Let me just do that. I apologize. I turned it off because I was getting feedback. But you understand what I'm saying in terms of the conversation that we're having now is a live conversation that has a life of its own. Once it's captured audiovisually,
it takes on a life of its own. That's right. And I put that link in the chat room for anyone who is interested in going there. And that's www.worldenlightenment.com. And that's for anyone listening on the archives as well. So,
yeah. So, and worldenlightenment.com, which is a word we made up, enlightenment, worldenlightenment.com, is a place where you can register to participate in all of our events on the phone, on the web, and in the world. These events are both inquiries, explorational discovery inquiries, in facilitated conversations, in unfacilitated conversations, and in general conversations. But these conversations cause conversations and actions in the future that make our world better forever for everyone. So we're living inside of that question, and we're also sharing the conclusions that question has brought us to over the time that we've been working on these things. So you can register for free at worldenlightenment.com as a participant in the inquiry. And this inquiry is growing. We've had, 163 people prior to this broadcast today that have opted into the education inside of World Enlightenment, which we'll discuss next. But the education will lead to a celebration for those individuals that have engaged in the education, and will sort of continue our communication so it spreads throughout the species, not just a few people in a few countries that happen to speak English. Okay, and that's one of the boundaries is language. One of the boundaries is location. So we've found a way to transcend or transgress those boundaries. But I want to address for just a moment, if I may, the word enlightenment. It's a cross between education, entertainment, empowerment, enlightenment, and helping people unentrain and unentrap themselves from automatic robot-like ways of being, just following, you know, the sheep that are in front of you. We call them, it's not a very nice term, but we call people who are asleep sheeple. They're just sort of on autopilot. And we want them to wake up and turn back into people who are thinking for themselves, speaking for themselves, acting for themselves, and collaborating, cooperating, and consciously creating circumstances as a community of two or more people, and starting to connect with the other creativity and consciousness centers of collaboration and community around the world. And so in our education, which is one of these three thrusts we have, education, celebration, and communication. Education, World Enlightenment has developed technologies for providing access to the distinction being mother and motherhood beyond our normal cognitive everyday understanding of these terms. This is our basis for a transformation of the way human beings are in the world, a fundamental shift in being from selfness to otherness, based on the distinction of being mother. If you like, a movement from me to we, from selfish to sharing, from what's in it for me to what's in it for we. Okay, these technologies are designed to provide actionable access to leadership and the effective exercise of what we call global motherful leadership as part of a person's nature, a natural self-expression, regardless of age, sex, creed, or color. And now, if you can imagine the world connected as one, imagine a world in which people, as part of their natural self-expression, undertake the maternal activities of protecting, preserving, nurturing, and nourishing others while supporting both their individuality and creativity. In essence, a world deeply intent on the welfare of others without exceptions, a world treasured and shared fairly by all. Now, we've declared such a world as possible, and we've been doing that for over 3 decades, and we will represent a global transformation of humanity, which will turn into a transfiguration of humanity, which we'll discuss in a while, but which we are committed to co-creating with you, the listener, the viewer, if you're viewing, and the participant, if you're engaging in any of the materials on the websites, on the phone calls, on the webinars, on the live events in the world, around the world. And on Friday, 11-11-11, which is just over 3.5 weeks from now, we're asking all of you to gather in groups, small, medium, large, and gigantic, and really deeply share inside of the context, how do we make the whole world work better forever for everyone? Ask yourselves the questions of what conversations could you engage in and what actions could you engage in that would produce that result, and then be in those conversations and taking those actions both individually and collectively. That's what we're requesting. That's what we're inviting you to do. Now, our goal is quite dramatic. We want to start a conversation now that spreads virally across the phone, the web, and the world, that causes, you know, over 1,111,111 locations to light up on the phone, on the web, and in the world on Friday, 11-11-11, in a conscious, collaborative conversation, communication, and celebration on that day from 11 a.m. in the morning to 11-11 p.m. at night, local time, and that can hook up via our phone systems, our web systems, and our live on the planet, you know, physical technological systems in the physical world. So that's the context of the education.
Okay.
And it's called, the course is called the M course, like the letter M. It stands for many things, one of which is obviously mother or motherhood, one of it which is empowerment, like the M of empowerment, because it empowers people to reclaim their innocence and re-embrace, if you will, their essence, their natural full self-expression, their authentic self, their true self, their full potential self, if you will. And the conversation that we have in this education is a structured, facilitated conversation. It's an inquiry. There are some materials that are available free of charge to anybody on the planet that wants to engage. They are translated into some languages, but their primary document was drafted in English. And the purpose of the document is to engage one that's reading or reviewing that material in the either the facilitator's manual or the participant's, you know, manual, if you will, to experience this shift in one's being. And one of the things we distinguish in there is the distinction crucible experience. I don't know, Gary, have you ever heard of a movie or a book that was called A Christmas Carol?
Oh, yes, yeah, by Dickens? Absolutely.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
A classic.
And you remember the Ghosts of Christmas Past, Present, and Future?
Mm-hmm.
When Scrooge went through his transfiguration from a very selfish and greedy and self-centered hoarding man, old and, you know, alone, basically, very, very alone in his world,
right,
through these three crucible experiences, these experiences of a shift in perspective on his own way of being, not just what he'd said and what he'd done, but the consequences that he hadn't quite grappled with of what he'd said and done, and how simple it would be for him to shift his point of view and shift his thinking, speaking, and action as a result of it. These were crucible experiences that he engaged in or was sort of put through, if you will. So this course that we've developed, which was developed by William and myself in a collaborative way, it actually presences for a human being how to and why to be nurturing and nourishing, protecting and preserving of the environment of the biosphere, not just the environment of the individual or the group that's living in one part of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very deep set of distinctions. It's very subtle, because just by reading and reviewing the materials, the transformation begins from, you know, the equivalent of a caterpillar to a butterfly. What's interesting about that transformation, or that transfiguration from one form to the next, is that in the middle stage in a butterfly, between caterpillar and butterfly, there is a liquefaction of the entire structure of the caterpillar in the pupa, or what's called the, you know, the cocoon. So you have to go through a liquid state, which is letting go of your fixed ways of being, your fixed ways of viewing the world, your fixed ways of thinking and speaking.
Chronic, habitual ways of thinking, that sort of thing, yes.
Exactly. So you actually have to grapple with letting go of things that you've said your whole life, that you've done your whole life, that you've been your whole life, letting go of stories you've told yourself and others. Now, I want to just address this, if I may. So if you think of a human being that just got conceived, the parents of that child either conceived that child consciously or, you know, seemingly by accident, if you hear what I'm saying. But they could have gone out with a conscious, willful intent of a very sacred union and communion to the point where they managed to conceive a child. And then that child starts to grow in the physical dimension from the metaphysical dimension. What I mean by that is those parents at one time were children, at one time were, you know, the thoughts in the minds of their parents who had an idea, when I grow up, I'm going to get to have a partner, a lover, and have a child and be a parent, okay? So you start as an idea, as a thought in a human's mind, if you will, and then you become a set of conversations and actions which that human takes, which then brings you into the physical form. And as you enter the physical form in utero, you go through stages of development of the physical form, the first organ of which is the ears. You actually hear is the first sensory of the five senses that you actually hear. Now, you could say you feel, as in touch, but that isn't really developed in utero until later. You don't really, and there's a lot of, you know, scientific data from Eastern and Western sources about this now. But what I'm trying to get you to hear is that, what I'm asking you to consider is that the ears and the listening ability is the very first thing that's developed in utero. And why that's so important is because what you're listening to is not just the heartbeat of your mother and the sound of her moving around in the physical world and whatever she's got in her environment at different points during the gestation and the pregnancy, but you're also hearing language. And there's a story about you that precedes you, which is, you know, we're going to have a baby, we'd like to get pregnant, you know, the parents discussing doing that and causing that. Then there's a story that develops into we're pregnant and we're having a baby and I wonder whether it's a boy or a girl. But that story, that conversation is starting to gain momentum, and your first awareness of it is in listener-only mode. You have no power to speak into it, but you are the source of it. It is about you, if you will. And that conversation then grows for 9, 10 months or 8.5 months while you're in utero. And as you start to come out into the physical world during the birth process, however that was for you, you know, nurturing and nourishing and blissfully, ecstatically, orgasmically pleasurable, which it is for women who give birth in the ocean with whales and dolphins sonaring and, you know, singing and surfing around, that's a very different experience than some people have, which is quite traumatic and frightening, and they're sort of cut out or pulled out, hung upside down, cut bits and pieces off you in certain cultures, you know, disconnect the umbilical before it stopped pulsing, and you're hanging upside down, you're cold, you're alone, they spank you, they squirt stuff in your eyes, ears, nose and mouth, they check
right
your orifices. I mean, it's a very jarring and frightening first introduction to this environment of outside your sacred space in the mother, where you feel literally like you're in heaven on earth with 24-hour room service connected, your umbilical cord. You're in a fluid amniotic sac, which is like a waterbed with sense around
floating
ground,
weightlessly in a warm environment, and warm and secure and safe. Yeah, right.
and all your needs are being met. I mean, 100% of your needs are being met. You're in the physical, and you're in heaven on earth, literally. Then you come out through this gap that whoever designed it had clearly never been down it, because it's such a narrow squeeze, if you will, to get out of the physical mother. And it can be very challenging, obviously, in certain circumstances, depending on, you know, how long it's taken for you to develop inside the mother and the physical design of the mother from the birthing point of view. I'm a doula and a midwife, so I have a lot of experience in this area. But just so you understand, that birth process imprints you as to this world is friendly and nurturing and blissful and ecstatic and orgasmic and pleasurable, or your mother literally had all sorts of drugs and medications squeezed into her and went through a traumatic and frightening experience of birth. Maybe even in some cases, you know, the mother dies during the birth process in many, many cases in the past. But, you know, it was the most dangerous thing that one would have to go through as a woman. But then you're born and you're outside of the womb and you, again, are listening to the conversation that you are. And this conversation or this story about you starts to go and grow, and it spreads around your community, your parents, their friends, relatives, neighbors, and coworkers, their world of communications and relations. And you don't have a say in the matter. You're just listening, and you're literally defenseless and vulnerable, and you are dependent on, you know, your mother's breast milk and some, you know, shelter and care of you as a being, and you continue to be dependent for, you know, however long that is for you, different people, different amounts of time, different cultures, different amounts of time. There are cultures where for the first 2 years, you're actually held by a human being at the chest level, so you never touch the ground. And after 2 years, you're put on the ground in a ceremony where you can actually already stand on your own 2 feet, literally, although you never have up until then. So you're literally always hearing a heartbeat of a human being, you know, while you're being carried around. Now, what's interesting about that is that you feel in that culture totally safe and secure, totally nurtured and nourished, totally protected and preserved, totally connected with the other beings in your tribe or in your community, such that, you know, they're all self. They're all part of you. They're literally physically skin to skin touching you. And you don't really think of it as my mother and my father, but that all men are your father and all women are your mother, and that you're connected to them viscerally, not just, you know, intellectually. So it's a very powerful way to bring a child into this world with that kind of a context. Oh, if you
awareness,
will.
Right. Yeah. There is no separation.
Right, but it's not how most of us, at least I wasn't brought in quite that way. Okay?
No, I wasn't either.
But you can imagine the impact that has and what it would be like if everybody was birthed in the ocean with whales and dolphins sonaring and singing and held for the first 2 years by human beings who loved you and cared about you and nurtured and nourished you and protected and preserved you and fed you, you know, whether it was breast milk or some other, you know, nurturing and nourishing food and beverage beyond breast milk. And by the way, breast milk is extremely potent, even if you're, you know, if you're able to drink breast milk. It's designed for human beings to be fully nourished and nurtured throughout the whole of their needs as they're growing. That fetus is growing from a newborn infant to a young child and then a young adult or a teenager and then an adult. But what I want to address is the conversation is now growing and going, and you're still a listener. You're not a speaker in that conversation. You're a listener, and it's taking form and taking shape and literally creating space for you to be in the world as a identifiably unique aspect of the whole, as a, you know, as a cell in the being of humanity. The conversation that you are is growing and going, and you have no say in the matter. You're absorbing all the energy, information, experience that comes to you. It's sort of being recorded in your jukebox, which is wide open and is being filled up with, you know, different things in different slots, if you will. And then there's a point when you start the conversation of speaking into the conversation. You know, who knows what your first word with? Many people it's mama or papa, but it could be any number of words. And you pick the first word that comes out of your being that you've heard around you that you endeavor to mirror or replicate. And that word starts you having a say in the matter of the story or the conversation that you're inside of. And that conversation continues to grow and go to the point where if you develop the skills and the distinctions, the tools and the techniques, if you will, that we are inviting you to engage with in worldenlightenment.com under the educational materials, you will understand that to the degree you manage that conversation that you are with and inside of integrity, your space to be physically and energetically and metaphysically expands or contracts. It literally expands or it contracts based on your capacity to master the distinctions of languaging and inquiry. So there's an old statement that goes, ask and you shall.
Anybody receive.
What a radical concept. What if that was true? Ask and you shall receive. Now, it doesn't say it, ask intelligently and ask consistently and persistently until you receive, but I would add that because there's an art to asking, and most people are actually afraid of being reasonable or even unreasonable in their asking, and when they get a no or somebody says boo, they stop asking, and they quit, and they take it personally, and they
become discouraged, etc. Right.
Yeah, they shut down the conversation that they are. They shut down the inquiry they're in, and sometimes for decades, not just days or hours. So the question is, how quickly can you recover from what you might have perceived or interpreted as negative feedback or a response that's not that which you were looking for, a nurturing and nourishing response? When somebody says no, you could ask them the simple question, what would turn that no into a yes? By asking that question, you're opening up the possibility of something beyond the no, whether it was to your product or your service or your event or to you as a human being, as an engagement in a personal or business relationship, but whatever, or to an invitation to your birthday party or celebration. If they say no, it doesn't mean no. It means they have not enough information, not enough experience, not enough energy yet in the space of that inquiry to make an informed choice that is a yes, an acceptance of that.
Right.
And it's not like you have to change their mind. It's just that if you ask the question, what would turn that no into a yes, you'll discover what's in the way for them of from saying yes rather than no. And you may or may not be able to sort of bridge that gap after they've shared it with you, but you'll certainly be able to add value and make a difference and contribute to that individual. So if I may, and I know I'm sort of monologuing here, Gary, because if you start me off in any direction, I could talk forever. So just be aware of that. But I want to address the education side before I get into celebration and communication side, just quickly, if I may.
Okay, and we've got about 25 minutes left in the show, and take it whatever direction you wish. I don't mind your loquaciousness at all.
I'd like to open up questions from you and any of the listeners or viewers or on the chat or side, but I just want to complete this foundational piece, then it's very clear to people and it can be fully understood and it can't be misunderstood at least, okay? So we're asking everybody to engage in the question today and for the next few days all the way through into Friday 11-11-11 this year, and we'll actually be doing the largest celebration in human history next year on Wednesday 12-12-12, the 12th of December 2012. So we're leading up to a global sort of orgasmic, blissful celebration we call, some of us call Global Orgasm Day for short, or God, but that's just a nickname we've made up for it because we want people to have a higher vibrational experience of being human and being interconnected. But the question we're asking you to engage in is, how do we make this world better forever for everyone? And how do we make the whole world better forever for everyone, not just our little part of it? And we've declared such a world is possible. And will represent a global transformation of humanity, which we are committed to co-creating with you, the viewer, the listener, whether you're live or pre-recorded, engaging with this material. Mother is about creativity and the very act of creation. It is also about nurturing, guiding, and leading. Often, mother demonstrates tenacity, protectiveness, preservation, and resourcefulness. One of the great lessons of the mother archetype is the process of life and compassion. It is important to create, nurture, empower, and release. Within this new being is a measurable increase in both influence and freedom. So the influence you have as a human being on yourself and others, and the freedom you have as a human being in this world. That is a very measurable and specific result you'll produce from engaging in worldenlightenment.com with the materials we're providing for free for you to either facilitate an inquiry or participate in an inquiry with us. Now, which we call New Optimal World, or now, the only time there really is, now is your chance to join the inquiry in asking the question, what does it take to create a world that is better, better for everyone, forever? To join our global celebration and start building this new optimal world inside of what we call the context of one optimal new environment, which is an optimal new environment for all people, including the physical earth and the relational, conversational aspect of being a human being. When asked what inspired us, I think we can only answer love and a growing understanding that service to others is really the only way forward. We, as in World Enlightenment, seeks to remove the fear, which some people call false evidence appearing real, that separates us from our full potential as individual human beings and collective humankind. Now, that's the sort of summary of how we collaborate collectively as a species to create a new optimal world. It's not just a new world, but it's an optimal world. It's not just taking what's possible, but discerningly selecting what's optimal from what's possible, and then making that which is optimal, probable, certain, and actual, both in the physical world and the relational world, and then in what we might call the metaphysical world. And I just want to say one more thing, and then I'm complete, and we can go into sort of questions and answers. When we say our primary focus has three thrusts, education, celebration, and communication, we've developed technologies and systems for education and the re-education of all 7 billion people, not just a few people here and there. So we've developed with the intent of reaching all humanity, not just the people that speak English or the people that live in Europe, okay? We've developed a celebrational format and system to manage that and maintain that and develop and deploy that. That celebration produces joy. And we've developed a system or set of systems, to be more specific and accurate and clear and certain about it, that allow you to celebrate irrespective of language and location and interconnect with people in other languages and locations live and interactively using the phone, the web, and systems in the world. And last but not least, communication. And I want to just belabor this, if I may. Communication is not what most people imagine. Communication can be used to describe, like the menu describes the food and the map describes the territory. That's a very primitive use of language and communication. There is an advanced set of distinctions inside of English and inside of language in general that allows you to literally consciously create circumstances in your world and in the world. And conscious languaging, or what we call conscious communication, is a very profoundly powerful and influential capacity which we can help you install in yourselves and install in your communities very radically and rapidly. It takes less than a week to actually master these basic distinctions in a new kind of conscious communication that's collaboration and cooperation orientated, that's celebration and communication orientated, that's communion and community orientated, and that maximizes creativity and consciousness individually and collectively. So it is a profound cornerstone to the whole of our initiative, the way we communicate inside of conversations, in questions that hook the minds of the masses into contemplating new questions that maybe we've not asked ourselves and each other before, which will naturally cause us to discover and explore and inquire into new solutions and then implement those solutions. Now, Gary.
Yes.
Do you know what's unique about human beings?
Oh, there are several things that I'm aware of.
Give me a couple of them, two or three.
Well, we have hands with opposing thumbs, for one thing. we have a mind.
Well, let's just deal with one at a time. So we have our opposable thumbs. What does that allow us to do that no other creature has done on the earth?
It allows us to grasp and hold things, hold objects in a very intricate manner.
Said another way, it allows us to manipulate
our
physical environment. And we've figured out how to manipulate our physical environment to create robots and things that actually do what we do with our physical hands. So we've more manipulated than any other creature on the biosphere, the physical earth, on the earth, under the earth, on the sea, under the sea, in the sky and in space, than any other creature, because we have this opposable thumb with very fine motor skills. Are you with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me about the second one. You said about the mind. What? Tell me about how that is distinct from all other minds on the biosphere.
Well, as far as from my own perspective, it's pretty distinctive, and I'm not sure if other animals share in the same mind or not. That's always been a subject of debate, and being part Native American, nature-based, we're opening more and more to the fact that they may not necessarily be, because according to that modality, they already know things that we have forgotten. So. But we do have this mind, that's one thing. And that's just another perspective, if you will.
Okay. So let's just talk, though, if we may, about the mind and how it expresses itself, okay? Because there's the brain and then there's the mind. And the mind, you could say you have an internal conversation in the form of thoughts and feelings and sensations in the being, in the body. And
or the right brain, left brain, intellect, heart, feelings, that sort of thing, right?
Right. So, but you have an internal conversation going on as thoughts, feelings, sensations, and left brain, right brain, masculine, feminine. Then you have an external conversation, which is you speaking to others, others speaking to you, and then, very interestingly, others speaking to others about you. Which you may not even know, you know, what's being said or what's being concluded or being done, okay? So, but there is communication going on. And what's really unique about humans, which might surprise you, is that our larynx actually moves 60 times a second. So we have the most complex language structure of any other creature, which allows us, believe it or not, to manipulate metaphysically, not just physically with our opposable thumbs, but metaphysically with our languaging more than any other creature on the biosphere.
Right.
And that unique little feature of our sort of complex languaging is what distinguishes us from the other species, because we can collaborate and cooperate and sort of coordinate, if you will, more than other creatures as a result of this gift, if you will, from our creator. And we may be very immature in our use of both of these things at this point. But hopefully, and it's my intent and William's intent and World Enlightenment's intent, that we mature extremely radically and rapidly now in what is basically the last quarter of this calendar year and the whole of next year, in a way that is so profound and so radical and rapid and real that it impacts the whole of humankind, the quality of life for all beings, not just human beings, is elevated beyond all imagination in just a year and a quarter. And that might sound you know, creatively idealistic or utopian, but there is a grounded, real, measurable, and specific proven plan of action on how one impacts 7 billion people to consider new questions and new answers to those questions collectively, not just individually, and take new actions as a result of it. So I'm very pleased to have had the opportunity to start this conversation with you this evening and with our listeners and viewers on Ustream on worldenlightainment.com. You can hear it and see it on the next tab. You know, you'll see there's a section inside of the membership, which is free, where you can press next and it will show you a live broadcast. And then if you've missed it live, you can watch the pre-recorded the Ustream there and review it. I just want you to spread this message. Ask the question, how do we make the world better forever for everyone? And make notes on what you come up with and see who's going to do what by when. Who's going to do it in return for what, as an exchange or as a whether it's monetary or non-monetary exchange. And know that these technologies allow us for the first time in human history to have the technology work for us instead of us work for the technology. That's what's exciting about being alive in this phase of human history, if you will.
This is very exciting, yes. And we have a question in the chat room. And
question time.
It is, I tend to listen more to nonverbal communication than words. I like the language of the heart. The heart doesn't lie, and words can be deceiving. Are you referencing the vibration or frequency carried by the tone on words as we speak?
Yes, and I'm referencing the vibration that's carried on all communication, both verbal and nonverbal, both in your posture and body language, as well as in your facial expressions, as well as in your sounds that are made other than traditional, you know, English or French or Spanish kind of speaking. I want you to know that it's not what you say, but how you feel about what you say that connects and communicates.
Yeah, the vibration behind it, right.
Right, and the observation of your absolute confidence or your doubt. So fear, doubt, and uncertainty, cynicism, resignation, and complacency is a very different place to speak and act from than absolute confidence and experience. You know, wisdom comes from experience. We've been there and done that. If you ask me to go as an adult to, you know, walk on 2 feet classes, I might not attend. But if you ask me to go to ballroom dancing classes, depending on my intentions, I might come with you to that specialized form of action, you know, review, if you will. Also, balance itself is a distinction. Balance on 2 feet, balance on a bicycle, balance on a monocycle, balance on a monocycle on a tightrope above the Grand Canyon while juggling balls and spinning plates. These are very advanced forms of balance. So communication and connection is vibrational. There is a resonant frequency to sound which reaches you, whether it's music you're hearing of human making or music you're hearing of the spheres and the cosmos and the whole of nature. But sound itself is the vibration that organizes the information, which organizes the energy. Literally, energy, which is all there is held in formation by information, which is held in the vibrational frequencies of sound. So as you go from a low tone scale on the lower chakra of red through orange or amber, through yellow, through green at the heart, through blue at the throat, and then indigo and violet at the third eye and the crown chakra, you'll actually literally go up a tonal vibrational scale of higher and higher frequencies and vibrations. And you could say that everything is energy vibrating, high and low, fast and slow. You'll find that the higher vibrational frequencies are ecstatic and blissful and joyful and pleasurable and sometimes organically orgasmic. But they are frequencies of love. Lower vibrations tend to be frequencies of fear. And you'll discover that you naturally sense these. The other thing I want to reference as a response to the listener, the question, is that the thymus gland, which is just sort of below the V-shaped bones, just at your collar, just below your throat, just below there is the thymus gland.
It's like the heart area, right?
Yeah, but it's right in the middle, not to the left as your heart would be as you're looking at yourself. So if you tap on that, the thymus gland is in a sympathetic resonant vibrational connection with the heartbeat of Mother Earth, the frequency of the Earth herself. And depending on who you listen to, this has been measured. I was born on the 26th of July, 61, so I'm, you know, just over 50. But when I was born, the frequency was measured at 7.83 hertz of the heartbeat of Mother Earth. That heartbeat now has been measured as high as 13.9 and 14.2 and averaging at a low of 11.2 hertz. That means the Mother Earth is increasing her vibrational frequency. Now, we could talk in another show about why that is and how that is, and know that it's not just our biosphere that's heating up. All the biospheres in our solar system are heating up, so it's not just us doing it to Mother Earth. It's because our sun is flying through a different part of the cosmos, not just our actions as humans or as creatures on the Earth or as the nature of nature here on the Earth. So don't take it personally and don't have egotistical, you know, aggrandizement of, you know, the climate change is all humans' fault. It isn't, okay? But it is interrelated with human activity. I'm not saying it doesn't have an impact, but by comparison to the bigger picture, we're almost negligible as our impact. And that might be shocking to some people, but just be aware of that, okay? So this thymus gland is in sympathetic resonance and is the source of the governor of your heart, which is the governor of your tongue and your speaking. You know, they say in some languages you speak with forked tongue, or you have your heart bent out of shape, literally, either physically or energetically. And it's because this frequency of the Earth is your core director and timer. It actually orchestrates your priorities, although you're not conscious necessarily of how that works, so that we can get into the Heart Math Institute and all of that science there. But the frequency of the heart, and people talk about the heart versus the head, I want you to know you have both for a reason. You need both. They need to be in balance and in sympathetic union and a resonant alignment, an authentic
integrated
alignment. Yes, integrated and balanced, not one positive and one negative or one right and one wrong, or the masculine is bad and the feminine is good, or the other way around. They're both required in a union, a dance, a sacred dance of the two dimensions and dynamics of the heart and the head, of the feeling and the thinking nature. And they're interrelated. By their very nature, they're interrelated, as are all humans, not just men and women and children. So anyway, that's the short version of my answer to that question.
Great. And we've got about 6 minutes left in the show, actually 5 minutes left. Could you really quickly explain the event coming up on 11/11. You're holding it in Phoenix, I think, as I understand, and other areas as well. How can people access and attend this event occurring globally, whether it be through your website or whatever?
Okay. So Friday 11/11/11 is a portal from some people's point of view, both numerologically, astrologically, astronomically, and for those of you that know what an astrosopher is, astrosophers will tell you this is a moment when the turning of the tide, we move fully into the Aquarian age from the Piscean age, and we have a very interesting shift in our individual and collective consciousness. The ground of our being, the actual source of our creativity and consciousness, shifts. Now, we want to celebrate that, because it's a natural phenomenon, a natural occurrence, just like the solstices, the equinoxes, and the eclipses, which we also celebrate. Mm-hmm. But this particular date, which is actually a date that's 3.5 weeks away, we want you to engage between now and then in collaboration and cooperation and communities that agree to gather on that day in small, medium, large groups, in your living rooms, in your homes, in your banks, business, and government buildings, in the parks, in the outdoor golf courses, on the beaches of the Hawaiian nation, you know, wherever you are, gathering groups as large as you can. Gathering groups as large as you can and celebrate together. And celebrate in a conscious way, a peaceful and prosperous way. I got it. Thank you, Gary. Celebrate in a conscious, collaborative, cooperative, creative community, and to engage in the conversations we're having to orchestrate and organize that between now and Friday 11/11/11 and during and beyond that day. There's only two actions I'd request you take. Number one, you register at worldenlightenment.com, worldenlightenment.com, to be part of the community, which will allow you to show up on our map so you can be seen from the web anywhere on the world that's a web-active device. You'll be able to see and you can zoom in to the specific place where that gathering is, how many people are in it, and how to connect with it by phone, by web, and live. So that will help orchestrate and organize things through worldenlightenment.com. Also, I'm hosting conversations, and my partners are hosting conversations every single day at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. UK time, but 10 p.m. and 10 a.m. local time all over the world. So it's a 24-hour-a-day connection using limitlessnow.com. Limitlessnow.com, you can click on the top left for phone access and get all of that information, top right for web access via Skype.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have Skype already, get Skype and be on Skype with us. That's
right.
Audio and visual and textual interaction. So that's where we're orchestrating and organizing the conversation from, via the phone conference and the web conference and the Skype conference. Okay.
For the benefit of the folks listening in on the archives, that's worldenlightenment.com, worldenlightenment, all one word, .com, and limitlessnow.com. So.
Yes. And Limitless Now is just a context based on a movie that was released on the 18th of March in the world. It was a worldwide release of a man that goes from basically struggling to make his book writing agreements, and he was behind on his bills, to being super conscious. And initially he's using a clear tablet to do it, and then he learns how to do it just by his own way of being and breathing. So we start where the movie ends, the context of limitlessness. Now, how do you be limitless now in every moment of now, individually and collectively? So that's the context of that inquiry. Again, it's free of charge. And we do things for free that then let you have options, if you want at times, to be mentored or coached or consulted with others for a fee if you want to. And then as a VIP, a very integrous person, very influential and intelligent person, a very important person. And so we ask you to come from free to fee to VIP in your own direction, your own timing, and whatever works for you. In both World Enlightenment, which is a donation-based opportunity, and in a membership model, if you will. And the same with Limitless Now, which is more an education around anything to do with your food, sex, time, money, relationships, and improving your communication skills, internal and external.
Great.
So I'm completing.
Well, great. You timed that just right. We've got about a minute left. Ivan, I want to thank you for being on the show, and let's do this again on down the road. And thank everyone for coming. I know this is kind of a spur-of-the-moment, quickly booked show, and I appreciate all of you for attending. And apologies to Nancy for cutting in on her. But Ivan, thank you ever so much. Any parting comments?
Well, I just want to thank you. It's been my pleasure and privilege to have the opportunity to talk with you, you know, on a one-on-one conversation with whoever's listening and viewing. And you can watch the replay at any time. Anytime at all you want at worldenlightenment.com, the viewing on Ustream there, you can hear and see me talking to the camera, if you will. And that is at worldenlightenment.com. After you've just registered to say you're participating, you'll see there's a next thing, which is about the next event, so next impending event. When would you like to do this again, Gary? Do you know yet, or do you want to wait till later to say that?
I don't know exactly yet, but possibly in about another week. So
okay.
We'll tentatively make plans between now and then. So stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah, we've only got 3 and a bit weeks, so I'd love to do this as often as we can between now and 11-11-11 so the conversation grows. So thank you, Gary, for hosting, and thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate the privilege and the honor.
Thank you again, Ivan. Thank you, everyone. I love you all, and we will see you all soon. Much love to you. Take care now.
Seize the moment. Thank you. That's only now. Are you going to put some music on? Do you have exit music?
Actually, it's already ended. We're streaming now, so we're just going to end the episode. Let me. Yeah. Thank you, Ivan.